Alrighty. Hello, I am JC again. I'm your hostess for today. Welcome to Declare Victory. Are there any first-time callers? All right, well, we're all family. The events are as follows. Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. We encourage you to download the app and submit your requests that way. This will help decrease the traffic we are experiencing with the amount of prayer requests we receive during greeting time. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend who has it. There were no online prayer requests today.
Hey, JC.
Please join up. Yes, sweetie.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you know what? Every time I put in a prayer request before 6 o'clock, even at 5:30, it never goes on for that day.
Oh, okay. What is your prayer request, sweetie?
Well, you know, honey, I don't want me to interrupt you, but just come
on. That's okay. Go ahead. It's so fun.
Please, please, everyone, please. I'm in fibromyalgia pain, been up all night, cannot sleep at all, nothing's working. It's Michelle. Just for prayer, for God to please kind of take it away so I can get through
my
day.
Right. Okay.
And I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
That's fine. I'm glad you read it. We definitely lift you up in prayer, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Please join us tonight for Friday Night Live. Well, the name speaks for itself. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You will be blessed. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Robert. Declaration and First Prayer Warrior will be Overseer Jeremiah. Praying second will be Adrian. Praying third, Jeff. And closing the day will be Tim. I'll repeat that again. Scripture, Robert. Declaration and praying first, Overseer Jeremiah. Praying second, Adrian. Praying third, Jeff. And closing today will be Tim. Please do not forget to mute your line by pressing star 6 or your standard mute feature. Thank you all for allowing me to be your greeter and hostess. I now pass the call to Robert.
Good morning. Happy Friday to everyone. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May God add a blessing to the reading hearers and doers of his word as I pass the call.
Good morning to all of the victors. Certainly appreciate God for this day. This is such a great day. This is Overseer Jeremiah Martin in Dallas, Texas. Awesome day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you to the greeter who greeted us this morning and for the scripture that has been read. Let's go right into the declaration this morning. This morning, I want to deal with one single word, and this word is commitment. And I want to take just a brief pause, and I want you to think about your commitment. What are you committed to? Who are you committed to? How are you committed? And I'm just doing a brief pause. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still here. But I really want this to marinate down on the inside of you about your commitment. It is my desire in the next 14 minutes to really make you think and analyze what have you been committed to and what have you been doing and what is necessary to step up your game in the area of commitment. Let me start by asking you this. What is commitment? Glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you. Commitment is a promise to do or give something. What commitment have we made to Christ? What promise have we promised him? What have we told him that we would give him? I remember years ago I was in a club, and I was a teenager, and mom had told me not to go to the club. And I snuck out the window and went to the club anyways. And got to the club, I'm having a good time, enjoying myself, and, you know, got my little drink in my hand, thought I was cute, got my outfit on, I'm good. All of a sudden, bullets start flying. The person to my right, the person to my left, bullets hit both of them. I could feel the air passing my head as bullets were flying. And I began to pray instant right then as I was falling to the ground to take for cover. As I was going to my knees, I remember praying and said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never, ever go to another club. At that particular moment, I made a promise, or some of the older saints would say a vow. I remember growing up, we would sing a song, I made a vow to the Lord, and I won't turn back. Believers, God is looking for those people that have made a vow and that will keep their vow, come hell or high water, rain, sleet, shine, or snow, and they will commit to the vow which they've given unto God. God has made a vow for us. He made a vow. He made a commitment. When he went to Calvary's cross and he died for us, he committed to his cross, never ever to come down off the cross until it was time. He went through all types of things. He went through being lied on, being talked about, being abused, all of these things because of his commitment. Now, I begin to ask myself, Jesus, why did you go through all of these things? And I'm going back to my commitment here in just a second. I begin to ask Jesus, why did you go through all of this? Jesus, you came down from heaven. You came from a spiritual form into a fleshly form to walk this earth, to go through all of these things. But you're the Alpha. You're the Omega. You're the beginning. You're the ending. You're all in all. You're everything. You could have snapped your fingers and made all of this happen really quickly. And Jesus began to speak to me, and he began to say, the reason why I did this is because I wanted to relate to my sons and my daughters. I want to relate to you. I want to be able to know what it is and how hard it is to commit. Because, yes, commitment is very, very hard. If you've ever been married, if you've ever been in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, friendship, whatever, commitment is very, very hard. And so Jesus says, what I want to do is I'm going to come in fleshly form, and I'm going to go through all of through all of these trials, through all of these tribulations. I'm going to suffer all of this because I want to understand, because when I ask you all to commit to me, I want to know what you've had to go through in order to commit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to know what it is that you go through in order to commit. See, because we can't say God doesn't understand. Yes, he understands, because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The very things that we struggle with, he had to struggle with in order to keep his promise. So he said, so commitment is a promise or a vow. So here it is. I'm in the club. Bullets begin to fly. I begin to make a vow. I begin to make a commitment to God. God, if you get me out of this, I'll never ever go to another club. Well, I made that commitment. No bullets hit me. I was good. I made it home. I got a good whooping when I got home. Glory to God. But I was safe in a nutshell. And you know, months and months passed, and I forgot about my commitment. And guess what? I found myself right back in the club again. And what happens is, in the life of the believer, is that so many of us, that we forget how, glory to God, we forget our commitment, and we find ourselves right back where we were. We find ourselves doing the same thing that we did that invoked that commitment or that promise in us to begin with. And you all have to help me this morning. I'm trying to watch this time, but because I know I'm on a time limit, so just somebody just say something when I'm over my time if I go over. So we have to most definitely hold to our commitment. So now let me give you scripture. According to Luke 14 and 26, he says, if any man comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Wow. When I begin to read this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and the word hate just stands out to me. I'm like, oh, well, God, how is it that you want me to hate these people, but you said love my neighbor, for you have loved the church, and that you're a God of love and all of this. And so I had to go and do a little deeper research, and the word hate in this particular text, the word hate translates to deny or sacrifice or to do without. When you make a commitment to God, you have to understand that there are some sacrifices. Ah, glory to God. There are some sacrifices. There has to be some separation. There has to be some doing without. He says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. That was a commitment that God gave to us. Any word out of the mouth of God, it is a promise. And I told you that a commitment is a promise or to do or to give something. And so he says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. So God has committed, or God has promised us, that if we suffer with him, that we're able to reign with him after this is all over. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, after this, the glory of God shall be revealed. You've got to understand that after you've suffered for a little while, glory to God, you've got to say, after I get through this, after I get through this trial, after I get through this heartache, after I get through this letdown, I understand that God is going to uphold his commitment, because he's a God that cannot and will not lie. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's always done just what he said he would do, just when he said he would do it, just the way that he said he was going to do it. So he says, if any man comes to me, if you want to be my disciple, he says, you've got to separate or deny your father, your mother, your children, your sister, your brother, everything. You've got to deny. And he said, and let's go a step further. Yes, you've even got to deny your own life. You must understand, when you totally commit to God, you must understand that the life that you think is yours is not even yours. It doesn't belong to you. It's God's. And so with this in mind, not only must you separate or sacrifice or to deny all of these things, he says, but you've got to be willing to bear a cross. You've got to be willing to bear your cross and come after me. He said, you've got to leave everything to come after me. Let's go to the text. Let's look at Elijah and Elisha. Here it is. Elisha said, as long as my soul liveth and the Lord liveth, I shall follow you. Elijah committed to Elijah, and he said, I'm going to give up everything to follow you, because I believe in the God in you. And not only do I believe in the God in you, I want what you got. And not only do I want what you have, I want it in double portions. I don't want just the same thing God gave you, but I want a double of that because that's why I'm going to commit to follow you everywhere you go. Even when Elijah told Elisha to stay, he said, no, I'm going wherever you go. I told you that. I'm not changing. I know you're the prophet. He said, but I believe, and because of what I'm after, I've got to uphold my commitment. I've got to stay with my promise. I've got to stay with what I vow to do. And he said, I vow to go wherever you go. If you go to the restroom, I'm going to, and I'm going to stand outside the door until you finish, Elijah. If you go up to the mountain to pray, I'm going to the mountain to pray too. And if you don't want me right there while you're praying, I'll just stand outside the door. But I've got to go everywhere you go, because I've made a vow. And listen, people of God, God is calling for those that God because listen, we are in a time right now. We are in a very detrimental time in life where we have to uphold our vow. If we've never needed the Lord before, we need him now. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Purge or whatever, but I won't tell it because I don't want to ruin it if you want to see it. But in that movie, you've got to understand that what we are seeing are pre-glimpses of this purge already, with hatred and murder and shooting and killing and all of this stuff. It's all centered around hatred. And so the church is praying, oh, we got to pray to stop this. No, we don't have to pray to stop it. We've got to hold to our commitment, and we've got to hold to our vow. You say, well, overseer, why is it that you're not praying to stop it? Because all that's happening is that revelation has been revealed, and God cannot return until the book of Revelation has revealed itself to its entirety. So, yes, this has to happen. But you've got to remember, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. So, yeah, you can do all of this stuff that you're going to do, but I'm going to be okay because I've made a commitment to God, and he's made a commitment to me, and we're one, and we're going to be together. God is looking for those people that will uphold their commitment. I've been married now for 8 years, with the same woman for 8 years. I've never stepped outside of my marriage. And let me tell you, it has been so trying. It has been so hard. I want to say that at the altar, if I forgot my anniversary, if she was on this line, I would be in trouble. May the 8th, that's what it was. May the 8th, 2009, I was standing at the altar, and my wife was so beautiful coming down the altar, and I was standing there, and I was sweating bullets, and my knees were buckling, and I thought I was going to pass out. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my life. I was nervous. My hands was sweaty, and I had never felt the anxiety that I had because I was getting ready to commit to give my life to somebody for the rest of my life. No more hanging out, no more girlfriends, no more extra, no more none of that. It's just this one lady for the rest of my life, and here I am, 20, 21, 22, maybe 23 years old. I don't remember, but here it is. I'm giving up everything because I'm ready to commit. I guess I was ready because I've done pretty good in 8 years. So I was ready to commit, but has it been easy? No. Have we had problems? Yes. Do we still have problems? Yes. Will we still have problems? Yes. But it's all a part of commitment. It's all a part of commitment. If anybody can give me or show me an easy commitment, please let me know. I want to try it. But anything that you commit to do, if you've ever gone to school, if you've ever worked a job, if you've ever been in a relationship, it's not easy to commit to it. It's not easy to commit to that. But listen, you've got to uphold the vow that you said. I stood at the altar before pastor and before all of our guests and before the Lord and said, I vow to love this wife through sickness and in health, through richer or poor, to death do us part. And so when I say death do us part, listen, it doesn't mean because you lied to me now the commitment is null and void. No, you've got to work, and you've got to work at anything. Grandma would always say, anything that's worth having is worth working for. You've got to understand that you've got to work. You've got to work in any kind of commitment. God is looking for those people that will work. He said you've got to deny everything. You've got to carry your cross. I'll tell you this. If you are not willing to bear a cross, you're not willing to call Jesus your Father. Wow. Did you really just say that, Martin? Yes, I just said that. If you cannot be persecuted, if you can't go through the same thing that the Christ went through, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're not fit to be a king's kid. You're not fit to call him dad if you think that you're better or you think that that you don't have to go through trial and struggle and tribulation. It's a part of your commitment. God is trying to test you. He said tests and trials come to make us stronger. He's showing you how to be a better kid. He's showing you how to be a strong kid. My son just turned 5 years old on yesterday, and my son is very, very intelligent. I'm teaching him how to be a man even now. He says, oh, I don't like little girls, little girls got cooties and all the kind of stuff. I said, oh, no, son, you want to like little girls. Most definitely, yeah, they're beautiful. They're wonderful. And my wife said, well, why are you teaching him that so young? Well, he's talking about girls. Let's deal with what he's talking about, because I want to make sure that my commitment as a father, that I teach my child everything that he needs to know when I feel like it's necessary for him to know it. I don't want to teach him that girls are wrong or girls are nasty or anything like that, because I'm putting that in his mind. So I want to let him know they're good. They're good friends to have. You know, you have to treat them like this. You have to be nice to them. They're beautiful beings. God put them here for us. This is the same thing that God is doing to us. God is teaching us how to be committed children. That's why you have tests. That's why you have trials. That's why you go through. Because God is teaching you how to be a committed child. And listen, if you can be committed in the midst of struggle, if you can be like Job and say, you know what, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The only reason so often you hear leaders preach that Job was, that Jesus recommended Job for the devil to tempt him and for the devil to try him. Yes, that's true, but that's the now. Let's look at the end of the picture. Really, Jesus was recommending Job for a double portion, but he knew that he could trust Job to make him look good in a bad situation. He knew that Job wouldn't go back on his vow. He knew that Job would not turn back on his promise. Job was righteous. He was upright before men. Job loved the Lord with everything in him. God knew that he could trust Job. I want to ask you, can God trust you with your commitment? A lot of us, we have a bunch of lip action. We're just talking. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord, this and that and the other. And for God I live and for God I'll die, and all of this stuff. Yes, it's the lip action. But where is the actual action behind what you vow to God? You told God, God, if you heal my body, I'll never eat pork again. God, if you fix my marriage, I'll never complain. I'll just go down in prayer. God, if you bring my family back together, I'll love them like you told me to. These are vows. These are commitments. I want you to go back and I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the commitment and the vow that you made to God. The reason why God can't bless some of us further than where we are is because you fail on your commitment. You fail God with your vow. He can't trust you in a bad situation to make him look good. That's why God can't bless you. Wow. Jesus requires a total, complete, sacrificial commitment from people who desire to be his disciples. But at the same time, Jesus has shown us the way to salvation by living the committed life he requires of us. Jesus already lived this life. Jesus has already gone through this. He already, the tax collectors have already been after him. Pharaoh has been after his people. All of these things. He's witnessed sickness. He's witnessed all of these things that we're witnessing now. Jesus has already seen it. So he knows what it takes to be committed to come through this. God is saying, you've got to be committed. You've got to be committed. He's looking for a committed person. He's looking for a committed people. He's looking for people that will say, you know what, I'm not going to quit right here, right now. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to be committed. Go back as I get ready to close, because I think I have about 4 more minutes. This is really, really good to me, and I really want you to get it. God, we've got to get back to our commitment. We've got to get back to our commitment. What did he say? He said, to whom much is given, much is required. Do you understand that as people of God, he has given us the ultimate gift? He gave us his son on Calvary. So do you not think that there's not a lot that's required of you? He said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. But because of the commitment, because of the vow I made to you, I expect a whole lot from you. He said, I'll cause little to become much. He says, listen, I've given you everything. I've laid it out for you. I've given you the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving earth. I've given you everything that you need to sustain you. All you got to do is hold to your commitment and hold to your promise. He says, be ye holy for I am holy. That was a command. He wasn't asking us to do it. He told us to do it. He said, that's the least you could do. He said, it's your reasonable service that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto me, holy and acceptable. That's what God is expecting of you. He said, I've done everything else. I died for you. I shed my blood on Calvary's cross. And watch this. I want you to understand that two things that are closely knitted to a commitment is struggle and trusting. You say, well, overseer, how did you get that? Well, listen, when Jesus was on Calvary's cross, he was there and he was pinned to the cross and he was committed to the cross. And on one side of him, there was a man who was trusting God. And on the other side of him, there was a man who was struggling to trust God. They were closely knit to commitment, but commitment never came down off the cross until it was necessary. Hello, somebody. You've got to understand that, yes, it's going to be a struggle to trust God. But because of this commitment, I believe with everything in me that God's going to make sure that I'm going to get through this. He said, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a thief begging for bread. Listen, you've got to understand a lot of the saints here at the Vineyard Church in Dallas, they're getting nervous because next year there's talk of how across the United States they're going to be putting a chip in everybody. And if you don't have this chip, you won't be able to buy or sell or trade and all this kind of stuff. I said, what you tripping about? Listen, God already knew this was happening. It's the mark of the beast. God already knew, but the righteous will never be forsaken. So we've already been taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. You're worried about what God is. You're trying to fix what God has already worked out. It's not necessary. God has a plan, but all you got to do is be committed to the word that God has given you. Wow. The reason why marriages and relationships fail is because somebody steps out of the vow. Somebody steps out of the promise. Somebody moves away from the commitment. We'll leave you with this one last point. He says, I wish above all things that my people would prosper and be in good health. And when I went and I'd done my research on the word prosper, it was not just talking about money. It wasn't just talking about cars and houses. He said, I wish above all things that my people would be, a different translation said, I wish above all things that my people would be blessed in totality, meaning in your mental capacity, in your wealth, in your well-being, all of these things. He said, this is what I wish of you. But in order for this to happen, you have to be committed to me. I wouldn't dare take care of anybody that's not committed to me. I'm reluctant to give to those that don't give to me. It's the law of reciprocity. You've got to give in order to get out. God is saying, I'm looking for those believers that will trust me wholeheartedly. You will trust me with your time. You will trust me with your money. You will trust me with your family, with your health, with your wealth, with your ministry, with everything in life. Isn't it funny how we trust God for the Hummer, but we don't trust him to put gas in the Hummer? We trust God for the million-dollar home, but we don't trust God to pay the taxes on the million-dollar home? Come on, people. What kind of God do we serve if he's going to bless you with it and he's not going to bless you to keep it? His commitment covers us holistically. He said, where didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith? Where are you doubting God? Where are you doubting in your commitment? Here at the Vineyard Church, it is mandatory that my church that we fast on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have people that say, oh, Pastor, I can't fast for 8 hours. You know, it's just 8 hours from the time you get up to the time until the time your 8 hours is over. If you got a weight problem and you can't wait to eat, you need to get up early so that way you can eat by your regular lunchtime. But you've got to trust God. We can't even trust God to turn our plate over. I got so hungry. And, you know, I hear the same thing. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I get so hungry. Everybody bring food in on Thursdays at work. You know, they want to roll out all the food, and they want to do a potluck and all that stuff. You're being tempted. Jesus has already done that. Come on. He made it through it. He wouldn't tell us to do something that we could not do. So I'm coming to a close. I want to ask you, where is your commitment? Are you committed to this man that you say that's your father? Are you committed to God? And not just going to church on Sunday. A commitment is not just a Sunday commitment. Not just waking up being on the victory line every morning. Your commitment has to be greater than that. Your commitment has to be greater than just going to Bible study and prayer meeting. Your commitment goes outside of the walls of ministry. Your commitment is, what did you promise God? What did God sanction you to do? What did God tell us to do as believers? He said he'll make you the head and not the tail. Do you really believe God? If he promised that, he gave you a commitment, he said that this is what I'm going to do, and we're doubting God? Wow. I want you to reevaluate yourself. I want you to reevaluate your commitment. And not just in ministry, but toward your family, toward those who have wronged you, toward your enemies. Listen, I've learned to embrace my enemies because I understand without my enemies, I can't be elevated. He said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. What do we do with a footstool? We stand up on it. It makes us taller. You get where the light bulb is going out in the ceiling, you can't change it unless you get a stool to stand on. It elevates you. Listen, embrace your enemies. Love them. I love my haters. I had somebody to try to blast me on social media about stuff that happened 10, 15 years ago. Like, are you serious? And they thought they were really doing something. They thought they was really doing something. And the Lord said, oh, don't worry. That is just an assassination on your anointing. It has nothing to do with you. But watch this. The very thing that the enemy tried to use to kill me only boosted my social media. After you didn't put all this foolishness out, now everybody is coming to my page trying to listen. You got to look that all things work together for the good. That's what God told you. All things work together for the good. So I want you to reevaluate yourself. Think about your commitment. How committed are you to God? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give? Are you willing to bear your cross? Are you totally committed in every area of life? In every area of life. And I'm talking about commitment brings about consistency. You can't have every other week commitment, but commitment is an everyday thing. Every hour, every minute, every second. Where is your commitment? Let me pray. Father God, now in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we bless you, God. We glorify your name this morning, God. God, we pray, God, that the word that you've given me this morning, God, that it would penetrate the hearts of the believers, God, that it would touch them right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, God, that you would cause every crooked way to become straight, God, that you would allow us to line up with your word and according to our faith, God, that everything that we've asked, everything that we believe, shall it be unto us, God. God, I pray, God, for every believer under the sound of my voice, God. I pray for their families, God. I pray for their friends, God. I pray for their enemies, God. God, that you would touch right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, that you would elevate us, God, that you would bring us higher, God, that you would bring us above measures, God. God, that you would bring us above all of the calamity that's going on in this nation, God, that we would not be weary in well-doing, but we shall receive if we faint not, God. God, I pray, God, that we shall be a people that shall stand on your word like never before, God. I believe that we shall be a people, God, that shall uphold your word, God, like never before, God. God, teach us, God, just as you taught your disciples, God. God, let our commitment be greater, God. God, let our sacrifice be greater, God. God, for we want to be close to you, God. We want to be like you, God. And God, whatever it takes, God, we pray, God, that you would give us more of it. God, if it takes more love, God, give us more love, God. God, if it takes us to sacrifice more, God, allow us to sacrifice more, God. God, whatever it takes, God, we just want to be more like you, God. God, I pray, God, for every intercessor that shall come even after me, God. Those intercessors that have come before me in the days before, God. God, I pray, God, that you would touch them right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, that you would strengthen them, God, that you would cause miracles and blessings. blessings to knock at the door, God. Every believer that's on this line, God, whatever they're praying for, God, whatever they're asking for, God. God, I pray, God, that you would do it right now, God. God, you said that we have not because we ask not, God. God, we come now asking, God, that you would heal the sick, God, that you would, God, that you would, God, that you would fix our minds, God, that you would touch our mental capacity, God. God, that you would, God, that you would, God, that you would remind us, God, that worrying is not of you, God, that suffering is not of you, God, but we must suffer a little while, God, if we desire to reign with you. And God, we praise you and we magnify you for the miracles and the blessings that's about to come, God. God, we thank you for what's about to happen even now, God. We praise you for the miracle. God, we praise you for the miracle, God, that you're about to release in the lives of your people, God. God, for you said that that there's no good thing that you shall withhold from us, God. And we bless you and we praise you for it now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, we just thank you now, God. God, I pray for those believers that are sick in the hospital, God. God, that you would touch them, God. For we stand on your word that you said that by your stripes we are healed, God. And God, we believe you and we praise you for healing right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name as I pass the call to the next ward. And I pass the call.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the declaration, Lord God, that are coming forth, that are reminding us, Lord God, of the things that we need to do, Lord God. I thank you for reminding us of the commitment, Lord God. Lord God, as I come to you today, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for being so patient and loving with us, that you make sure that we remember, Lord God, and that you make sure that we know what we're supposed to be doing, Lord God. Your commitment, Lord God, to us is unwavering, Lord God. I thank you for the commitment, Lord God. Lord God, as we come before you today, we ask, Lord God, that our commitment be stronger, Lord God. Lord God, help us to be committed to the unsaved ones in our lives, Lord God, the unsaved ones in our families, Lord God. Help us to be committed to helping them to understand who you are and what you are about and what you want from them and how that you can help them and bless them, Lord God. Help us to remember to be committed to blessing them to be in love and when we go to them, Lord God, and blessing us to give them the love that they require, that they need, Lord God. Help us to be committed in helping them to see you in us, Lord God. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask as we go forth, Lord God, to help us to remember to be committed in our relationships, Lord God, in the marriages, Lord God, that the commitment in marriages would be stronger, that it would be the way that you call for it to be, that we would love as you have called for us to love, Lord God. Help the marriages to be strong in walking together and working together and praying together and seeking you and glorifying you in the ways that they do and the things that they say and the way that they are perceived and the way that they treat people around them, Lord God. And Lord God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, as we walk on our jobs, Lord God, those jobs that we are challenged at, those jobs that we see people doing things that are wrong, Lord God, help us to be committed as Jesus was, Lord God. When he washed the feet of the disciples, Lord God, he didn't differentiate of how or who or the way he did the washing of the feet, Lord God. He made sure that he did what he was going to do for all of them, Lord God, even though he knew those were the one that was going to do the betrayal, Lord God. So, Lord God, help us to be committed in walking that way, Lord God. Help us be committed walking in love, Lord God, that no matter what we see or what we know that the person is going to do, Lord God, that we don't treat them any differently, Lord God. Help us be the servants that you have called for us to be, the children that you have called us to be in love with those that are around us, Lord God, that despitefully use us, Lord God. You said, do good to those that despitefully use us, Lord God. You said, you compare no man evil for evil, Lord God. So help us to walk in love, Lord God. Help us to see what you want us to see, Lord God, and help us to remember to keep our eyes on you and not on the situations, not on the people, not on the things that are going on, but to remember that you have called for us to walk in love. You have shown us what to do, Lord God, and you have called for us to be committed in following that walk, Lord God. Lord God, as we go also to the families, Lord God, our children, Lord God, help us to help our children to learn how to be committed to serve you, Lord God. The children of Israel, Lord God,
they were taught that the word is sweeter than honey, Lord God. And honey is sweet, Lord God. Help us to remember to show our children that the word is sweet as honey, Lord God. That no matter what goes on, that word is still sweet. It's still nourishing to the soul, Lord God. Help us to remember to show them that you love us, Lord God, and that we're to show them how to follow you. He said, train up in a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So help us to remember to train them, Lord God. Help us to remember to give them the word. Not our experiences, Lord God, but what you have called for us and told us and taught us, Lord God. It's about you, Lord God. It's about what you desire for us to do, Lord God. And as we walk in love, Lord God, we teach our children to walk in love. As we respond in love, Lord God, our children will learn how to respond in love, Lord God. So help us to be committed in showing our children the love that you've called for us to be, to walk in. Lord God, as our enemies, Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, to help us to love them and not hold any grudges, Lord God, to let go of their anger, to forgive, Lord God, even in our families and people that come in contact with us, Lord God. Help us to learn and be quick to forgive, Lord God, and to remember what you have called for us to do, to show love. No matter what they've done, Lord God, we have to still show love. We have to glorify you by walking in love, Lord God. That's the commitment, Lord God, that we desire to do, to walk as Christ loved, as Christ loved and as Christ walked, Lord God. We are committed to serving you, Lord God. We're committed to blessing others around us, Lord God, and we desire to serve you the way you call for us to serve you, Lord God. We desire to be a blessing to others, Lord God. We desire to show Christ in us, Lord God. So help us to be committed to following what you have called for us to follow, Lord God, and to walk as you have called for us to walk. Lord God, the rabbi went out, does not go out in the Old Testament, does not go out and find his disciples, but Christ did, Lord God. He went out and found those that he wanted, Lord God. You have called us, and you have come and come to our places and called us into your fold, Lord God. So help us to walk, Lord God, as you call for us. As a disciple, Lord God, we're supposed to follow and to serve, and we're supposed to be just like you. In other words, there's no difference we want to see between you and us, Lord God. We want to be just like you. If you eat with your right hand, we want to eat with our right hand, Lord God. We want to be where there's no difference between us and you, Lord God. But we also want to be the ones that you have called and glorify you in everything that we say and do, Lord God. So help us to walk as you have called for us to walk, Lord God. Help us to be the disciples that we have committed ourselves to being, Lord God. Help us to be remembrance of all the things that you have called for us to do and all the things that you have called for us to say. We give you all the praise, Lord God, all the honor and all the glory. Thank you again, Lord God, for all that you're doing. Thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you're doing and all that you've given in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God the Father. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for that word this morning, Lord, that refresher, Lord God, on commitment, Lord God. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for the desire, Lord God, that lives down on the inside of us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, hallelujah, that empowers us, Lord God, that gives us the strength, Lord God, along with our desire, Lord God, to fulfill the commitment. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, as the declaration went forth, Lord God, I thought about all the things, Lord God, that I am committed to, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. So, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that here on Declare Victory, Lord God, that we are taught, Lord God, that it is spoken into us, Lord God, to have a commitment to the commitment, Lord God. And for that, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for the love that's down on the inside, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for the joy that's down on the inside, Lord God. Lord God, we say thank you for the peace that's down on the inside of us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your love, Lord God. Lord God, we have prayer requests this morning to lift up to you, Lord God. And we want to ask, Lord God, that you hear our voices this morning, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up your daughter, Sister Julia, to you this morning, Lord God. Her and her brother, Lord God. Lord God, we pray healing in their bodies, Lord God. Whatever prayer request, Lord God, they have for you this morning, God. We say thank you, Lord God, for honoring their prayers, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up your daughter Wanda to you this morning, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you bless her today, Lord God. Touch her heart, man. Touch her mind, Lord God. Touch her body, Lord God. Heal her, Lord God. Deliver her, Lord God, from any thing that will come against her, Lord God. Set her free, Lord God. Lord God, we believe that you could do it, Lord God. We trust, Lord God, in you, Lord God. Lord God, that last prayer request, Lord God, I didn't catch the name, Lord God, but I pray, Lord God, that you bless that your daughter, Lord God. To heal her body, Lord God. Whatever her needs are, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for healing in her body, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for whatever it is, Lord God, that you could fix it, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up Brother Tillis to you, Lord God. Brother Delmar Tillis, we lift him and his siblings up to you this morning, Lord God, as they lay their mother to rest today, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, your strength, Lord God, in that family, Lord God. Let them be united, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. In their grief, Lord God, in their bereavement, Lord God, as they lay their mother to rest, Lord God. Lord God, I know Brother Tillis, he has love for you in his heart, Lord God. So I pray your covering over him, Lord God. Strengthen him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the power of prayer, Lord God, and that which we receive through prayer, Lord God. So, Lord God, as I prepare to pass the call, Lord God, I want to continue to lift up the Declare Victory prayer line to you, Lord God, along with our marriages, our children, Lord God, our workplace, Lord God, even our enemies, Lord God. We pray for this morning, Lord God. We continue to lift up the United States of America, Lord God, all of our family members serving in the military, our unsaved loved ones, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just want to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we are committed, Lord God, and that we won't quit, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray as I pass the call. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Brother Tim, if you're praying, we can't hear you.
Don't think he's on the call.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah for the power of prayer this morning, Lord God. Lord God, Jesus, continue, Lord God. Continue, Lord God, to give us the desire, Lord God. Let us take action, Lord God. Let us put action, Lord God, behind our faith, Lord God. Faith without works is dead, Lord God. So, Lord God, let us take action, Lord God, with our commitment, Lord God. And, Lord God, so as we prepare to go into collective praise, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you receive our praise, our worship, Lord God, that we cry out to you this morning, Lord God. So, Lord God, I ask that we all take our phones off of mute, Lord God, and collectively, Lord God, praise the Lord, God. Praises, Lord. We're going to send you up praises this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. Another day, Lord God, to reverence you, Lord God. Another day, Lord God, to make a commitment to the commitment, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your love, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for quickening our spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are, for all that you do, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you this morning, Lord God. We bless you this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you woke us up this morning in our right minds, Lord God. With our minds stayed on you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that refresher, Lord God. Yes. We have many commitments, Lord God. Hallelujah. But let us keep our focus on you, Lord God. Let us keep our trust in you, Lord God. It is you, Lord God, that will empower us, Lord God, that will allow us, Lord God, to keep the commitments to our wives, Lord God, to keep the commitment, Lord God, to our children, Lord God, to keep the commitment, Lord, hallelujah, to our jobs, Lord God, to keep the commitment, Lord God, to our best friend, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for that refresher, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. Yes, in every area of our lives, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Victory, Lord God. Victory, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Victory in thy praise, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Victory in thy praise. Lord God, we say thank you for that song that lives down on the inside of us, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just want to praise you this morning, Lord God. We just want to love you, Lord God. Teach us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us to mortify this flesh, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to present ourselves, Lord God, as living sacrifice, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, Lord. We won't quit, Lord God. We won't quit, Lord God. Matter of fact, Lord God, we're going to turn up our praise, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to turn up our praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. We won't quit, Lord God. Jesus. Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for endowing us, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah. That empowers us, Lord God, to keep the commitment. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. We honor you, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord God. We magnify you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let it reflect, Lord God, in our life, Lord God, in our conversations, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God, in our behaviors, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Praise him. Yes. Praise him.
Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise him, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Praise him. Yes, hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Yes,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
God. We don't take
money
for
this
morning, God.
Your ears.
We know it wasn't the bottom part, but it was you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We trust you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. So, Lord God, as we prepare, Lord God, to move into the next phase, Lord God, of the call, the love, life, and victory, Lord God. Hallelujah. As I prepare to pass the call, Lord God, to the host, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, Lord God, with that refresher, Lord God, to be mindful of our commitment to you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord. In Jesus' name we pray as I pass the call.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hello and welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is JC and I'm your hostess. I hope you have been blessed by the call today. Were there any first-time callers that did not get to say hello? Are there any?
This is a first-time caller. Oh,
okay. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying this is the first-time caller of the Friday morning Declare Victory, and my name is Pam, and I'm just so blessed and thankful to be praying and worshiping with you all this morning. So thank you. And that was a
Amen.
Awesome.
What's your first name again?
My name is Pam.
Pam.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome, Pam. Who invited you?
So I know Dee Dee.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a beautiful thing. So praise
God.
Well,
we're so glad to have you. Call back again.
Absolutely.
You're very much welcome. God bless your day. Were there any victors that called in a little later and did not get to say hello and would like to do so?
Good morning. It's Moni.
Good morning, Moni.
Welcome, Tam.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. Tasha.
Good morning, Tasha. Is there anyone else? Well, okay. Well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory portion. I thank you and have a blessed day. I now pass the call to Overseer Jeremiah. God bless.
Thank you, Jesse.
Amen. God bless you all. Amen. God bless you all. We certainly thank God for the prayer. Amen. And we thank God for the lesson on this morning. Love, Life, and Victory. We just want to just kind of just chop it up and talk a little bit about our commitment. If the word blessed you, you could talk about it now. If it made you think differently, if it made you challenge, if it challenged you. Anytime I'm speaking, I always want to challenge my listening audience and the believers. I want to challenge you to think differently and to do better and to shift where you are. Because God can't work with a bunch of nothingness. And a lot of us are giving God nothing. He says he calls us little to become much. All he needs is a little. So all he's going to do is give him a little, but some of us are just kind of going through the motions. So just for the next 15, 20 minutes, we're not going to hold the discussion very long like we typically do. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity to maybe testify or maybe for some of you the word, what I know, thank you, God, I know for at least five of you the word was specifically for five individuals that called in on this line this morning because you've been dealing with some issues as it relates to your commitment and even being committed to your ministry, committed to the church that you're at, committed in your marriage or your relationship. So feel free to talk, to ask some questions, whatever. We'll open up the line to you at this point.
Hey, Jeremiah, this is Michelle. You actually blessed me because you've only my daughter's been pretty ill. I haven't been on for a while because my daughter's actually been in the hospital. And so I made, of course, a commitment to be the best mom that I can to her and to do what I need right by her. But in the meantime, I actually forgot about myself. And sometimes when your kid's so sick and you're so drowning in it, you forget about your commitment of what are the other things that you need to do. And my commitment.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 40-4. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1, switch 40-4.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I think that was her phone.
Okay. Well, hopefully she'll call back in. Was there anybody else that
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here now.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I don't know what happened. I apologize. So what I'm trying to say is that you're reminding me of the commitment that I also need to make to myself, and that is taking care of myself, making a commitment to God to taking care of myself and not losing thought of that when, you know, everything else is going on, that I lose sight of where I need to be with him, and that is taking care of myself, not letting abusive people into my life who treat me really bad because I am God's child and I shouldn't be treated that way. And so my commitment to him, I think, today is to take better care of myself and to do right by him and to follow by him even when, you know, life gets tough, to not forget about that. I always pray to him and I always think about him, but I don't do sometimes right by him by doing right by me. And I know that he wouldn't want that for me. So that kind of raised an issue with me of, you know, it's one of those things where it's real hard when, you know, your going through stuff and you need people, and it's always it's been the wrong people that have been there, that have been around, that kind of just take advantage of me, and it just takes more and more out of me instead of just saying, you know, I can't do that anymore. Yeah, I got to cut you off, because if you're not on my path where I need to be, then you don't need to be in my life. So you raised the question. I took a lot of notes. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else like to share this morning?
Overseer?
Yes.
Good morning. It's Cindy. How are you?
Good morning, Cindy. How are you?
Good. So good to hear your voice. I was so excited to hear that you were bringing the declaration this morning. I miss you. Welcome back.
Thank you all so much. It's so hard being in Texas, because you guys are in the 6 a.m. hour, but it's 8 here. And so I'm working and all of that. And I'm like, my wife is looking at me now because we're on vacation. My son's birthday was yesterday.
Oh, no.
And she was like, yeah. And so I kind of made a vow that I'm going back on, because I said no church, no work, because I'm always doing church and work, and my family suffers a lot. So,
yeah.
but this was really important. It's been a long time, and I have a lot of victors that inbox me saying, hey, we miss your sound, we miss you. So this was a free opportunity. But go ahead, Cindy.
So I really enjoyed the declaration. Like I said, it's so glad, so good to hear. You know, I thought about when you were talking, a lot of times we commit, you really made me think about my commitment with the Lord. And a lot of times we get caught up as church people committing to ministry or committing to church work, and we forget that we're committed to God first. So we're so busy, 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 but it just, you know, and it was a good reminder, you know, to remind us that we're committed to God, and what would he have us do, and what do we promise him, or what do we make, like you said, what do we make a vow to him to do, to be, to say, while we're doing ministry and church work. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And I must just add that, you know, when I teach lessons, it's not for just the believers that are listening to me, but it's for me as well, because as I was saying, like, my family suffers. I'm a workaholic. I love ministry, and I'm a mortician here in Texas. I just graduated school. Praise God, thank God. And back in April, graduated, and so now I'm done with school, but now I'm doing like the state board testing and all of that stuff. So I'm studying for that. And my family always gets the last little bit of me, which is not much once my day is over. And the Lord began to deal with me, saying, hey, you know, family first. You know, my wife comes first. And I thank God that he's given me a wife, that he's matured her to a point that she understands, and she releases me to do ministry and to do kingdom. But even still, as the man, my commitment is to her and my son first. And so all those things play a part in our commitment. You know, we're so busy doing church stuff, but we really forget about what God has said to be first, you know, because I am the head usher, or I'm the, you know, I'm the armor bearer at the church. You know, I got to be at the church. I got to unlock the doors. I got to clean up. I got to do this. And then your house is lying in ruins. And the Bible says a man who doesn't take care of his own home is worse than an infidel. And so sometimes we have to take time for ourselves. We have to take time to do what God had, what we promised God that we'd do, and what he's obligated us to do. And sometimes we get it confused with, because we were at choir rehearsal, you know, well, that's not your first ministry. That's not what God promised you. I mean, that's not what you promised him. That's not what he told you. So sometimes we have to go back, and we have to check ourselves, and we have to kind of regulate. Am I really on course? Am I being committed? And I know y'all not guilty of this, but I'm guilty saying, okay, God, listen, I need to take my tithes. I need to do this, and I'm going to double up next week. That's not being committed. Whether I do it or not, that's not being committed. My commitment is that a tenth of everything that I get, it goes to God right then when I get it, because he didn't waste his time getting it to me. So I owe him that. You know, it's his. So yeah, we've got to assess our commitment all the way around, the totality of our commitment. Is there anybody else that want to share?
Overseer, this is Moni. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for that declaration. Welcome back. It's always great to hear you. Definitely brought the Word of God today. It is it was good conviction. you know, we needed to hear that, definitely. I know I did. Just reminding me of my commitment to him, you know. And then we wonder, you know, why things go wrong, or, oh, wow, how did I drop that ball there, or how did I miss this, you know. We really have to. Can you mute your line? Thank you. We really have to remember our commitment to him, because as we stay faithful to him, he'll continue to see us through. We just have to keep our end of the bargain, you know, and he'll come through for us. So I just wanted to thank you for that, for bringing that today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for even thinking of me and scheduling me on today. So it was a much sacrifice to be on here, but I feel that it was very needed. And I do hate that I have to be the one to bring that conviction. But I'm one of those kind of prophets where when God speaks, you know, I've got to do what he said, because I was going to bring y'all a good, wonderful message on Star Trek, because I just watched Star Trek, the movie Star Trek, and I got a next generation message, and I guess I'll teach it another time. But God totally shifted me into something else. But listen, to all of the victors that are listening to me, I want you all to please not negate your personal time with God and your personal devotional time because you feel like, hey, I'm on the line every morning. But there's some personal time God needs. And listen, and for those intercessors and those teachers, it's very vital that you guys most definitely are spending personal time with God, because this is very draining. It gets very, very tiring. And y'all can rebuke me later if you want to. I don't care. But anybody who knows me know I just say what God gives me. And on the line, it's almost as if this is routine now, where we're going to get up and we're going to go through the motions. And I get on from time to time, and I listen, and I just hear, and it sounds like that the people that are praying, you're drained. But it's because you're not spending enough personal time with God. And any time that you're praying for people and you're pouring into people, it pulls from you. And if you're doing it on an everyday basis, I think you guys are here 6 days a week, it pulls from you. So you have to take time, and every now and then it's okay to say, you know what, I'm kind of tired from last week. Maybe it's not good for me to pray. I need somebody to pour back into me, you know, because I do my own prayer with my church, and we have 6 a.m. prayer, which is 4 a.m. your time. And trust me, I did it for like 3 weeks straight, nobody but me, and I would just get on and I would pray. And if you've ever heard me pray, I don't know how to give cute prayers. I don't even know how to talk to God in a cute manner. When I pray, I try to go into the depths of what I need from God and really pull him. And so with me praying like that, it's a lot. So it takes a lot out of you. So I admonish and encourage those intercessors that pray weekly and pray daily on this line to really take time, if there's nothing but an hour, 20 minutes, whatever, to get something from God by yourself. And so, and that way that you can really have something to feed the people. When we first started, when the line first started, I mean, it was like explosive, and that's what people are hungry for. They're hungry for that explosiveness, and they want to feel revived and rejuvenated, and not just like, hey, I just went through the motion. So we've got to first get committed to God. I tell the citizens at the Vineyard Church, they can't be committed to me if they're not even committed to God. I don't expect them to be committed to ministry when they're not committed to God personally. It has to be a personal commitment. So, but I'm a move from there, because some of y'all are cringing. I feel you in the Holy Ghost, and I want to be invited back again. So I'm gonna be good. Anybody else want to share with us?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning,
Dee Dee. I'm so excited to hear your sound, and I ain't cringing. Amen into what you said, because that is so true. We have to be replenished, and we have to get into that word. And you just spoke. Oh my God! Thank you for that. That needed to be said. But I'm happy birthday to your son, and yes, spend time with your family. That's so important. Very proud of your accomplishments. Ever since I met you in Vallejo, I keep hearing everything you said. But just to talk about the commitment, man, you said so much this morning. I had to laugh when you were talking about being in a club and lying, because I know, I don't know about nobody else in the line, but I've done that. Or you say, Lord, if you get me out of this, I won't. Man, we lying. We lie. I know I lie when I said it time and time again up in a club and didn't have no business in there, bullets flying. Just like you said, when you were telling your story, I was like, man, was it we in the same club? But no, I'm much older than you. But just thank you. And the marriages fail because somebody stepped out of the commitment. That right there, my God. Wow. I needed to hear that. My marriage is fine today, but I share and I pray with so many of my sisters and brothers that want to throw in the towel because there's a sock in the floor. You know, he didn't say something. You know, the tones, just something that we forget that we make commitments and our vows to God is unto the Lord. So I just thank you so much that I got out of this, and I'm going to take all my notes that I wrote and, you know, like you said, what vows have we failed that we made to God? We got to recheck ourselves and stop just doing lip service and that mundane, you know, that routine stuff that we do. So I appreciate you. And get off the phone quick, because I don't want my sister girl mad at you because you're spending time with the victors. But we love you, man of God. And just continue to bless as you do. Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you. And listen, I'll tell you all, I'll tell my testimony, and I'll give somebody else a chance. But when I talk about marriage, it's because I've been there. I don't know, some of you probably remember, but my wife and I, we were at divorce's door. And as a matter of fact, I had filed. I was done. And I tell this testimony to everybody. I'm not ashamed because that's the problem that people keep. You know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. But sometimes what goes on in this house needs help outside of this house, because there's what's going on in this house that's killing us, and we need somebody to help us. But we were at divorce's door. I mean, I had filed. We were at court, and the prophets had come to me and told me to hold on to your marriage. I was like, the hell with that. I'm done. Nobody cheats on me and this and that and the other, you know. But I had to – the Lord took me. While we were in the court, it was crazy. The judge came in. She looked at me, and she shook her head, and she smashed down the gavel, and she said, 25-minute recess. I'm like, what? We just got up here. What do you mean? Court just started at 9 o'clock, you know, and you already recessing? You didn't drink all of your coffee or what? You know, because I'm ready to get it over with. I'm done. And 25-minute recess. And she has the bailiff to come to me and tell me to come here. I never, ever met this judge in my life before, a Hispanic judge, never, ever seen her, didn't know her. She knows me. She watches my broadcast every Saturday morning. She follows me on Facebook. I mean, she knows me. She calls me into her chambers and says, I cannot believe that the prophet, the man of God, is in my court to get a divorce. She said, I am disgusted with you. She said, the things that you preach, the faith that you have, the love that you teach, and you don't know how to love this woman. Wow. She said, get out of my court. She said, I won't even see you all. She said, file it in a different court. And when I heard her, it wasn't her being mean or ugly or vindictive or anything. I felt such a conviction in her voice, and I could see tears welling up in her eyes. And it's almost as if she lost faith in me. And I went in the restroom with tears rolling down my face, crying and saying, okay, God, what is it that I need to do? Because I'm out of options. I don't know what else to do. And the Lord began to minister to me right in the bathroom on the sixth floor of our justice building here in Dallas, Texas. And I began to cry. He began to minister to me. He said, this is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And my wife is about 4 years younger than I. And he said, she's exactly like you. And when the Lord began to tell me that, I began to assess myself. And I used to think, you know what? I used to be a hoe. I used to do some crazy stuff. I cheated in relationships plenty of times. And I've done some things. But I had to mature to a place that I did not give my wife a chance to mature to. I'm her first marriage. She's my first marriage. And we're young. We have to learn. We have to know. And God said, when you were the whore that you were, I didn't break my commitment with you. And so I had to check myself. I had to think, I've been there, I've done that. And so when I started thinking about it, the Lord took me back and I began to think about the commitment that I made to her. I said, I will be there for you, for better or worse, rich or poor. I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to always do this and that and the other. And when I began to think about it, I hadn't always done that. And so it was me that stepped away from the commitment first that caused her to step away from the commitment. She just did it in a different way. Where I stepped away from the commitment, it was more so in my being there and being a husband and being her friend and being her lover. My focus was, I need to work. I got 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 to pay bills. I got to do ministry. You know, everybody needs me. Well, I can't minister to God's people when I'm not the priest of my own house. And that's why we're still together now. You know, and trust me, we're still learning and we're still working. And, like, I mean, like, I really want to be at work today. But my son, he's five. It's his birthday. We brought him to Houston and we're here at the beach, and we're going to take him to a wrestling match on tomorrow night because he loves wrestling, and he doesn't even know it. It's a surprise, you know, taking him to a wrestling match and all that. But back at work, I have to, like, block work out altogether because at the funeral home, we have 13 bodies this weekend. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are they going to do without me? Well, dead people don't need me. They're dead. They're going to be right there. Either they're going to be there when I get back or somebody's going to take them where they got to go.
I love you, man of God. Thank you. I didn't rent in my backyard. Oh, Jesus, thank you.
That's real. They're going to be right there.
Yeah, they're not going nowhere. They're not in a rush to get anywhere. But I'm so work driven, and I never ever want to fail, and I want to always, you know, be doing work. But my family is suffering. My son came to me, and he said, Daddy, do you love work more than you love me? And I said, well, no, son, of course not. Why? Why would you say that? He said, because you're always at work. You never have time to play the game with me. You know, and this is from a 4-year-old. You know, so. It just goes back to my commitment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of the ones, I'm guilty. I was sure praying to God fix what was going on. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew it was something. And I prayed for y'all. So thank you. You're welcome very much.
Say it again. I'm sorry. My line broke up. Say that one more time.
I'm guilty of praying for you. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew it was something. So I was praying for y'all.
Oh,
that the Lord would fix it. So I'm telling you, you're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate your prayer. And it's crazy. Everybody says, oh, man, we were praying for you. But everybody know how I am. Don't get in my business because when I make a decision, it's my decision. You know, I'm not changing my mind. I'm very stubborn when it comes to it. I know that.
Look,
I think there was somebody else
that,
who wanted to speak.
I was going to say, look how God put that judge. He does everything. All things work. I love that. She told you to get out of her courtroom. I love it. Thank God.
Yeah, she wouldn't even hear the case. I'm like, wait a minute now. I've been working on this divorce for like 6 months because I was doing everything myself. I was like, I'm not paying no attorney to do what I can do. So I'm doing everything myself. I'm Googling and I'm getting all the paperwork and, you know, everything. I filed everything. And she said, get out. What? You know, but I couldn't even get angry at her because it was deeper than me standing there.
Right.
And I say it to every believer. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know who is looking up to you. And this woman had to be 50, in her mid-50s, late 60s, I mean early 60s. And I'm like, she's Hispanic. You know, she ain't watching me. I'm little old Jeremiah, you know. This lady, you know, and later I wrote her a letter and found her on Facebook and everything. And she and I were friends now. And she began to tell me that that's why she did that. She said, I believe in what you preach. And she said, and if you can't live by what you preach and what you teach, what am I believing in? You know, and so I was just like, wow, you know, like, you know, I'm thinking, I'm just 34 years old. I just turned 34 in June. And I'm like, ain't nobody paying me no attention. I'm a little backwood preacher here down in Dallas, preaching and hollering and sweating out my suits and casting out devils. You know, nobody's paying me attention but my church. But you never know who's watching and who respects you and who's looking at you as an example. And so, I mean, I've had numerous of pastors say, you know, when they saw that my wife and I had reconciled, they said, man, you know what? If you can do it, I can do it. I'm going to get my wife back. And there may be some men listening to me now. Go get your wife back. Yes, we say things that when we're upset that's hurtful and all of that. That's just our fleshly nature. But men have to be men. And we took a vow and we took a commitment. And if you say that's the woman that God gave you who you are. She's just the female version of you. He said, I put man asleep and I took his rib and I made woman. So she's a part of you. She's flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone. So the whore that she is, you've been that or you are at some point. And you may not agree with it, but it's the word.
Overseer Jeremiah Martin?
Yes, ma'am.
It is so good to hear your sound. I'm like Dee Dee. I remember you from Vallejo. And I am so – thank you for being so transparent, because there are so many marriages breaking up behind silly stuff. And I really appreciate your talk this morning.
Oh, thank you so much. But I'm just sharing what God is doing for me. And when I begin to look at it differently, my wife and I we've never been better. I mean, we're the best of friends. I mean, we text all day long. I don't have time to text anybody else. You know, my boss get mad. Put that phone down. Hey, bro, this is my wife. Shut up talking to me. You know, like, you want to fire me? I'll go home and chill with my wife, you know, or go to my wife's job or whatever. But, hey, this is important now, because you don't like your wife. Don't make me not like mine, you know.
So, hi, this is Pam. I just wanted to add something. I'm the first-time caller that's on a Friday, but I just also wanted to share with you, too, this is the first time I've ever heard your voice, and you are definitely anointed, because I'm like, who is this person talking? And it was a beautiful story and your transparency. And I was just thinking, you know, how you were talking about you were in the court and you were ready to go, and, you know, the judge or whoever, she called you in her chambers and mentioned, you know, that to you. I just thank God, too, because God just, that's God looking at, for me, I believe God sent her. I mean, as an angel, I mean, we never know how God is going to speak to us. And I also see it as like, you know, not even just looking at you, but I know leaders and people who do what you do. That's a lot of responsibility, and the enemy is about everybody. So I just thank the Lord, and I see that as a blessing, and I'm thankful. And I God bless you and your wife and your family.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else want to share this morning? I know this is a blessing to the people, because it's blessing me all over again. Go ahead.
Good morning. The Lord gave me last night looking at Abraham and how Abraham followed without question what the Lord asked him to do with his son, and how Abraham took his son and bound him and put him on that altar that he had built to offer him up to God, and how he didn't waver. And then the Lord said, because you trust me, because you fear me, I will bless you. Well, when you talked about commitment, you know, it related to what you that the Lord had given me last night. But as you were talking about the marriage that you were about to let go of, and the Lord blessed you, that it didn't end, I saw that you had bound her and you were about to sacrifice her, and the Lord put a ram in the bush, which was the judge, to end that. Because he loves you, and he sees you as one he can trust, one that follows him and loves him. So it was interesting. And I thank you for your share.
Wow. Boy, you just gave me a word to preach. I'm out to preach that Sunday.
Good morning. This is Duratio. Man, that was an awesome declaration and an awesome testimony. And I could relate. When I first got saved, I was really just wondering about my marriage. And I had a prophetess let me know that that's my wife and she loves you. And I'm from Vallejo, so when they keep saying Vallejo, I'm trying to picture her face. I was a bad actor in the world. I made a lot of mistakes. And the Lord said, whatever she has done, you have done way more, so why are you mad? You know what I mean? So I had to also forgive and let go. So, and just that making a vow, when you said make a vow to God, I just, Ecclesiastes 5 just kept running through my head. It's better to not make a vow than break a vow to God. So, you know, that was an awesome declaration this morning. I appreciate you coming by. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But I tell you, when it comes to marriage, we look at what people are doing, but you got to look at yourself and say, what am I doing? Because here it is, yeah, my wife, she cheated with another man, but I was cheating the whole time with my job and my ministry. You know, so cheating is cheating. And you have to look at it from that angle, you know, because cheating is, you know, in a marriage when you're spending time with somebody else and you're enjoying somebody else and you're not there. And that's what I was doing. I was enjoying my work. I was enjoying my ministry. And forget all about my wife. And, yes, I would fly her in, you know, if I was preaching somewhere, you know, if she had time or whatever, would fly her in and she would show up one night. But one night didn't matter when I'm gone, you know, 6 days out of the seven. So,
good morning.
Good morning. I know that voice. Who is that?
I'm sorry, overseer. That was Barbara Cockrell.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good morning, Barbara. Did we lose her? Okay.
Hey, Brother Overseer, this is Tanya. Just wanted to say I enjoyed your heart share this morning, your transparency, and it was like Dee Dee and everybody else has said, it was so good to hear you sound. My eyes bucked out of my head and said, uh-oh, here we go.
Right. Listen, you all, I'm enjoying you guys. I miss you guys so much, and I appreciate you all so much. But I just got notification that the time is over now. So I love you guys. Please keep me in your prayers. I'm going to keep you guys in my prayers. And even if you don't hear me, know that sometimes I'm on the line, and I'm praying for you guys. And I don't know who's monitoring, who can see what, but if you see a block number, normally that's me because I don't like nobody to know what I'm on the line. I just like to call in and listen and be fed as much as I can. But I love you guys so much, and we appreciate God for you. So we're going to release the line. Listen, let somebody know that you love them today. Encourage somebody and just share the love of God today. All right, you guys be blessed. We'll talk to you,
thank you,
in the morning.
Enjoy your family. Love you.
Yeah, have a great time with your family.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
See y'all this evening. For those of you who are joining Friday Night Live, talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
matter what. Okay. We going, where are we going first? We going to Costco? Hello?